Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. Our speaker today is Kate Domett from the charity Transforming Lives Together. The readings are taken from Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 5, and Matthew 11, verses 2 to 11.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading from the Old Testament is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 5. But before I read the passage, I just want to be able to put this in context. On the brink of freedom. Up to this point, Isaiah had been largely taken up with the threat from Assyria. Now that particular crisis is behind him, he is given a new vision for a new situation. Jerusalem has been saved from Assyria, but the city will fall to Babylon, and the captive people will be taken into exile. This will not be the end of the nation, though it will seem like it. In due course, Babylon itself will be overthrown by Cyrus the Persian, and he will return the exiles to their homeland. All this God reveals to the prophet so that he may comfort and encourage the people, reassuring them for the bitter times ahead. So clear is all this in Isaiah's mind that from now on he leaves current events behind. In this reading and the following few chapters, he stands with the captives in Babylon at the end of their long exile. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 5. Comfort, comfort my people, says our God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'm reading from the 11th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 2 to 11. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Jeff and Fiona. So it's my privilege now to invite Kate Dummett from TLG. I believe your specific work among TLG is early intervention years or early intervention lead. There we go. But you'll tell us more about that. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's lovely to be here again. I recognise some faces. I was here November last year, so it's lovely to see it all Christmassy. And great to see the team of coaches here as well. So, and thank you for those readings. So one of those was one that I asked to be shared this morning, the one from Isaiah, and then the other one is just so pertinent too, about going out and going into the wilderness and that image. So as Fabian has already explained, my name's Kate, and I'm a program development lead for the early intervention coaching. I used to be the regional lead for the Southwest, so journeying with churches. And you've got a lovely new regional lead now called Catherine, who is unable to be here this morning, but I know that she'll be coming again soon, and she'll be here when the team have their annual review. I live just south of Bristol, Clevedon, and we also have a partnership for early intervention, so I coordinate that into our local schools. And my background's in teaching, so and then I worked for a local church. So for me, the work of TLG, Transforming Lives for Good, the way that they are so passionate about equipping the local church to journey with children and families, young people who are in the community, well, my eyes lit up when I first heard about this work. So it's a real passion for me, and something that I really believe that God is working in quite a new way and very deeply across our nation. So we've heard these words from Isaiah, and we're going to reflect this morning on God's heart for those who struggle. And then I'll mention some ways that maybe you are already joining in, and other ways that you might like to join in, just as Fabian did earlier. And it would be great to just start with just inviting God to lead this space. I'm going to be with you for about 20 minutes. Lord, I thank you that you are here, that you are present, you are with us, and that you go before us into all things. And I pray now, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, open our hearts, open our minds to just listen to you this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would use the words that I've prepared to just speak to us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So when we look at the first couple of verses from this passage in Isaiah, comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. She's been punished enough, more than enough, and now it's over and done with. We see God's heart. We hear God's heart to comfort people, the people of Israel. Speak comfort, literally meaning to speak to the heart. In this passage, we see his desire to bring comfort to all of us, but particularly those who have hurting hearts, where there is struggle. We see God's heart for the people of Israel who've been in captivity and experienced destruction. And it reminds us, I think, that we are all waiting for God, even now, to bring his justice on oppressive systems, to bring his kingdom of justice, peace, and love. And when we look at some statistics that are pulled from our own nation, this is particularly pertinent, I think, and we can resonate with that sense of captivity and injustice that is present. So I've got a few. There are 4.3 million children living in poverty in the UK. These slides were made about 6 months ago, and I believe that's about 4.5 now. So this has increased by 500,000 in the last 5 years. And this obviously has a huge impact on whole families of all different shapes and sizes. And one in three parents from low-income families say that they've missed a meal in order to feed their children in the school holidays. And in the wake of the pandemic, it's thought that an extra 1.5 million children and young people are going to require mental health support over the next 5 years. And in the last academic year, there were over 418,000 school exclusions, and 25,000 of those were primary age children in the last year. So these aren't exact numbers, they're rough numbers, but they're taken from statistics across the nation, and they just give us an insight into the struggle. And I go into lots of different schools, and I'm just overwhelmed by the determination that we see in local schools. And amazing to hear, Fiona, from you this morning, that you know, there are people who care deeply for our children and young people in these education settings. And through programmes like Early Intervention, the church are invited to come alongside children and families and journey with them to support the school community as well as individual children and families. Poor children are four times more likely to be excluded. So we see this injustice on a greater scale. And we only need to tune into the news. We hear tragedies affecting young people and families and the really challenging circumstances that so many families we know are now facing due to what we're calling the cost of living crisis. So these, if we take a moment to pause, I wonder how we experience these statistics. Numbers are a strange one, aren't they? Especially when I bring them up quite quickly. But if we sit with them, they are quite devastating and really not okay for our children, for this next generation. And what we see in Isaiah next is what we believe is the call to the church in this season. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road straight and smooth, a highway fit for God. Fill in the valleys and level off the hills. And we're going to think about what that might mean in our context in this season. So, Stan asked me earlier if this was a shot from Top Gear, but it's not, but it does look like that, doesn't it? All I look at that picture and just think, I would not want to be on that road. So we're going to use our imaginations, our God-given imaginations, and we're going to imagine that we are transported to the most treacherous road in Bolivia and a man called Alfredo. It's his job to transport timber from Zayamas, which is situated in the tropical lowlands of Bolivia, to the mega city of La Paz along the Yungas Road, otherwise known as Death Road. This journey can take up to 3 days. The road is extremely dusty, but then when it rains, mud forms and the trucks get stuck in the mud and drivers sometimes have to abandon their vehicles to physically fill in the holes, just so that they can kind of like get the stones and piles of leaves to provide this traction that a truck will need to move forward. But there are many sections of the road where the drivers find themselves on extremely narrow paths. Rocks jutting out on one side, deep valleys drop down the other, and many people have to drive apparently with their heads out of the window, keeping their eyes on the edge of the path to ensure that they don't fall to an almost certain death. And I wonder if we can take this picture and use it as an analogy, a metaphor, as a picture for life. Can you imagine feeling so overwhelmed by potential danger, constantly consumed by anxiety? And this is a reality for many of the young people that we have in school today. And many of the people that we work with as an organisation are struggling with what might ultimately look like exclusion, rejection, mental health struggles, huge problems with their emotional well-being. And we know now that this can lead to really difficult situations in adulthood and even shorter life expectancy. Now there's a road I would rather be on. So this is the last 2 kilometres of Alfredo's journey, and the road to La Paz is finally paved. After 3 days of treacherous driving conditions, the road is smooth, straight, and the first thing that he does is thank God that he has once again survived. And he knows that on the final stretch of his journey, he is safe. We talk a lot about creating safe spaces for young people. Felt safety, and what a difference that can make to a young person, especially if it's an hour a week with a consistent adult like an early intervention coach. For many children around the UK, their journey does feel fraught with pain and worry, but what if it doesn't have to be like this? And at TLG, we have this opportunity to partner with churches like yourselves and help to be part of a solution that can pave the way for different outcomes, to be road builders, to, as Fiona said, help equip young children, empower young children with tools themselves to face what we know will be challenges, a challenging life anyway. But if you imagine a race in life, not all children start on the starting line, or they don't all start on the same line. Some are disadvantaged and start much further back. How can we help with this levelling up? We want to prepare a way for God's light to shine. And through connection with the local church, building community, we really believe that this is possible and we have seen how it makes a difference. So back in Isaiah, fill in the valleys, level off the hills, smooth out the ruts, clear out the rocks. It's an incredible mandate for us all. And this is the transformation that we are desperate to see at TLG, through the local church, across the whole of the UK, journeying with young people. So I'll just tell you a little bit about TLG, Transforming Lives for Good. You can look on the website. We've got, I'll show you some of our resources in a minute. And we know that any work of God begins with great preparation. And the TLG journey was no different. It started with one teenager called Lewis who was suffering under the injustice of situations he was facing. He was struggling to cope with life. He was excluded from school time and time again. And actually, it was like he'd given up. And when Lewis started coming along to a local church youth group, the youth leaders thought, well, here's an opportunity for us to do something more for Lewis and for young people like Lewis. They felt that stirring to level off the hills, the barriers that stood in his pathway in lives. And so TLG was born. And there's been, over the last 20 years, different program building. First of all, education centers, alternate spaces for education. And so for those children who'd been excluded from school. And then early intervention. There's a great quote, it's often attributed to William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, about the church being the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. And absolutely, we should, as the church community, be there in times of crisis. But what does it look like to be at the top of the cliff building fences? That's the picture we use for early intervention. Actually equipping and bringing tools in at an earlier stage to help prevent young people really dropping off that cliff. And then when we started seeing practical needs among families, we had an opportunity to develop something called Make Lunch. You also here at St. James partner with TLG to do Make Lunch, and that's been over the last couple of years a real resource in your community, equipping families with extra resources of food. And I know there's been some other things that have been given out through Make Lunch too. Vashti heads up that project and David coordinates the early intervention. So fast forward 20 years, and over the 20 years of TLG, God's raised up over 220 churches, and they're reaching out into community, into school, and providing hot meals in their school, in their church settings. So we're all about equipping the local church. And we're going to watch a short clip now. A young man who I am very fond of, he's called Charles, and I think that you'll enjoy listening to his story.
At school, I almost didn't want to come because I kept getting bullied almost every day. This boy followed me. I tried asking him to stop, but he said no, and then he pushed me and said, oh wow, you didn't move because probably how heavy you are. And then I pushed him back. I felt a bit upset and angry. So I ran home. I let all my anger out on my sister for no absolute reason, but I did.
It was really good timing for TLG early intervention to come into Charles's life. I think he'd been struggling at this point, and it was just starting to show. I think mum and dad were picking up things at home.
I think I just needed something to let all my anger and stress out, almost like a stress ball. I needed something like that at home. I started coaching with Helen. It almost made me feel special, as not many people in our class and school have TLG.
Part of our coaching session was helping Charles understand his emotions. I think emotional well-being is really important.
Before I had coaching, I had no one to talk to about my feelings. But once I had Helen, there'd be a few options what I could do. One of them that Helen mentioned was drawing a cartoon almost about it.
Because Charles is so brilliant at drawing. That's a real talent of yours, and you do some fantastic cartoon drawing. That was an outlet for you, wasn't it, to kind of think about, well, actually, what could have been done differently?
I redrew one of the scenes almost, mm-hmm. to see what I would have done and how I would have done it almost. Mm-hmm. I was scared to meet new people because I thought they didn't like me.
But I think such a proud moment is when you shared with me that your class had voted you as their representative for school council.
Yeah, everyone in the class said almost, Charles, I'm going to vote you, you're a nice guy.
I think that shows, though, that your whole class has seen a change in you.
Yeah.
Do you feel more confident now as well?
Yeah, I feel I'm getting bullied a little bit less, and I'm feeling happier about myself. And I haven't got too much self-doubt about myself, mm-hmm. almost. Mm-hmm. Obviously, moving up to secondary school is going to be a bit scary. I'm actually feeling quite excited, as I'm making a lot of new friends, and I'm just feeling quite happy that I actually have people that like me and support me.
The year of coaching isn't the end. It's almost the beginning of Charles's story, and I'm excited to see him grow and develop into the amazing young man that I know he's going to be. Do you feel you've got the tools to be ready for secondary school now?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you feel confident that
the book you gave me when I left, TLG, I've read it, the whole thing, and it's actually kind of encouraged me to want to go to secondary school.
I'll let Charles know that you gave him a round of applause. How brave, to tell his story. And you might notice that was actually filmed in the local church. It was filmed just at the end of lockdown, so we didn't film it in school. But all coaching happens in school. We have coaches of all ages. But often we have coaches who become a bit like a grandparent figure for the children that they coach. And we know that a lot of children these days don't have so much contact with their grandparents. So it's such a gift. And did you notice Helen speaking good things over Charles? Such a biblical principle, speaking good things into his life. You're so good at drawing, aren't you? Encouraging, building him up. Very simply, spending time playing games, doing what Charles loves to do, with just a little sprinkle of noticing, wondering together. And I would like to invite you this morning to consider whether you might have an hour a week
you also need to travel to school and travel back, so it's probably about 2 hours a week that you could give to join this team here. We know that I haven't even asked Fiona if they would like more coaches in school, but we know that every school will answer a resounding yes to that question. You partnered, St James partnered with TLG back in 2019. It was interrupted by lockdown, but you have already supported 11 children in your local school. There are three coaches there at the moment. Sue, I saw earlier. Yay, Sue's back there, and David and Jenny. And I'll be at the back afterwards. Please come and have a chat. If you sort of think your heart might be thumping just a little bit and you're wondering what it might be like to coach, you get trained by TLG, you don't get abandoned, you get access to loads of resources and ongoing things. Sue's nodding. There's lots of lovely resources like booklets that help parents. I'll put those at the back. There's all the resources of games that you can do. This little booklet is called Becoming an Early Intervention Coach. I've got a pile of those at the back. Even if you might like to just wonder about it, please do take a leaflet. Pray, ask God, because I'm sure that there might be a few folk in this room that might just be wondering, could I do that? And it would be wonderful if you could. Other ways to get involved. So every coach has a prayer partner. There's some information about that at the back, because of course we want to be praying for these children. We don't ever pray with a child. The content of the coaching hour has no faith content in it. We're simply there to be an encourager and to have fun with a young person. But we do pray for the families that we journey with, of course. And all dotted around the church this morning is this leaflet. And there's an opportunity in that leaflet. You'll see, maybe you moved one if you're sitting on a seat, to stay in touch with the work that TLG does. So if you fill out that form, you can give it to me today. And then you will get three times a year a magazine that tells you, so Charles's story is in the magazine at the moment, just tells you a little about what's going on all over the country. And if you sign up to stay in touch today, then you get a free copy of the book, which is the TLG story, which is a really good read. There's also an invitation there to join the whole team of hope givers. Some people like to give of their time, some people like to support work financially or are able to do that and feel that prompt from God. So if that's something, that a way that you would like to join in supporting the work of TLG, becoming a hope giver is an invitation in that booklet. We always say support your work locally first. If you feel that this is a way that you could support the work of TLG more widely, we do need hope givers to enable this work to grow and to flourish. So thank you. I know sitting in this room, there's already quite a few hope givers here. Thank you for being part of that team. It really does make a difference. And then there's leaflets at the back. I think I've got one here. If you are involved in business, then businesses can also support the work of TLG. I won't explain, I mean, that's financially, but there's information about that. My husband and I ended up, very unexpectedly actually, buying a little pub in the middle of lockdown, which required quite a lot of praying, if I'm honest. But it's turned into an amazing community space, and we became... So they're called Future Builders, the businesses that support the work of TLG. And our local community love that just by kind of being part of the community that is a pub, actually they are supporting work that is supporting young people and families. So that's another way to join in. Great. So there's resources at the back. I will be at the back to chat to. And I think I would just like to say thank you to you as a community, whether you are praying, whether you're actively coaching, whether you're part of the Make Lunch team. Some of you might be really interested in what does it look like as a church community to understand more how to journey with families that might be struggling with emotional well-being. And TLG have free online courses. You get resources if you sign up. You just go to the website. And Emotional First Aid is a really good course. I think it's a two-hour evening. And there's a booklet for parents and there's a booklet for young people. But as a church, I would encourage you, if you've not yet kind of engaged with that type of work, it's very accessible and really does help, I think, change the culture of church, understanding what it's like to understand families that are living with difficult circumstances and trauma. So thank you. I'm going to show you one short film to finish. And perhaps while you're watching it, if you want to fill out one of the forms to stay in touch, then you can give that to me afterwards. So this film is 4 minutes long, and it's all about a new resource that TLG has for churches. And just to kind of like, again, just like enthuse you with a bit of wondering and imagining and the opportunity that you have, and you will recognize yourselves, I'm sure, already in this film. It's called In the Journey.
We're all on a journey. Whether we've known Jesus for 10 minutes or 10 decades, or even if we've not met him yet. Imagine you or someone in your church is at the school gate and you start a conversation with a parent of a family that your church is connecting with. They start to tell you about how moved they are with all the food parcels your church has been dropping off and how they've noticed something different in you and others. They're wondering about connecting into something, but they're not sure, so you offer to meet up for a coffee with them. You get chatting about the toddler group and the kids club and the food bank that meets as part of your church community, and you assure them that as they explore, they will be met with a meaningful welcome. Because you simply gave your time, bravely made yourself available, they feel safe with you and engage more and more as they participate and begin to trust more people in your church. They begin to form friendships and maybe even volunteer to help at the next family event that your church is running. They have found an extension of family where they can just be and feel accepted. We know that the more that a family finds belonging in a church community, the more open they can become to discovering faith. As you and your church celebrate all these moments, however big or small they seem, and as you grow more in faith together, and you see this parent who you once stopped to say hello to at the school gate is now thriving in life and faith, where the transformation in not just the individual is evident, but transformation in the whole church culture. This journey could take years, it's slow and it's steady, it's in relationship, and it may be messy because life happens. It's journeying together with families as a church, because we're all on that journey. And it's not just transformation in people, but transformation in the life of the church as we listen and walk together in the journey. In the Journey combines the journey of the individual woven through the journey that the church is also on. Where a person starts noticing that there is something different in you, they start exploring with curiosity of what they see in you and others. They may begin engaging before truly trusting and finding a place of being themselves. Over time, this could then lead on to discovering and being open to the possibility of greater transformation. Then, in relationship, at their pace and in trusted community, committing, growing and thriving can develop as people are equipped and released to lead others in the journey too. At the same time, the journey of the church is about creating a safe space for this journey for individuals to happen, with the church positioned for connecting within the community, welcoming people warmly, and having many ways where people can find their place through participating and belonging, and all with honouring and championing every big or small step on the journey through celebrating, with all this leading to everyone transforming by embracing the lifelong journey and commitment to ongoing change. Using our nearly 25 years of experience working alongside churches, TLG have created the In the Journey resource to equip you to intentionally notice what God is already doing in the lives of children and families.
Thank you very much. Pointing to this journey, I believe as a church we are on this journey of how do we kind of see what God is doing in our community, and I have two very small stories to just encourage each other, because we are on the school gate. I am on the school gate at St. James because my children are there. Dave is at the school gate at Northtown because his children are there, and things are happening. Just recently, Dave had a contact with a dad, went to the birthday party of his daughter, and then the dad saw the kitchen, and the dad says, a few weeks after, said, you know, by the way, I'm a chef at one of the famous pub here in Taunton, and I just want to do something in the community. Would the church be willing to maybe have the kitchen open so that we can do something? And we're exploring that. That's the kind of thing that happens when we are kind of opened to what God might be doing. And then this week we had parents coming, and one of the parents of St. James said, you know, I have time, and I do decorations inside houses or whatever. So if you have a group that do painting and things like that, if you need things practical to happen in the church, I can give time. So that's exactly what you're saying, those kind of contexts that we do. And we want you to have those eyes open with your own friends and your neighbors. You know that we are going to have stable manners, we're going to let you know. And the idea is that you pray for a friend, pray for a neighbor to invite to that event, which is a fun event, but it tells something of the story of Christmas in a fun and relaxed and enjoyable way. But you come then with that friend, and you have those conversations like in that story where they trust you and they see something in you and they want to know a little bit more what is this church about and what is your faith about.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening. And may God be with you today.